Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to another episode of Plotted. I'm Jana.
I'm Ashlyn.
And today we're talking about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
It's such a good movie.
Oh my gosh, if you haven't seen it, like, go.
Yeah.
Go right now. Turn us off. Go see the movie.
Exactly. And then come back and let's discuss. No, it was definitely a great movie. Don't listen to the reviews. I don't know who wrote them, but they were wrong.
Yeah, I saw the reviews too, and I was like, I don't care. It is a Marvel movie, but it isn't. It doesn't feel like one.
No, it doesn't feel like one, and me and Jana are very MCU nerds. Any graphic novels or comic books about MCU, I have not read them, but the movies, I have grown up on those.
I've read DC and a few Marvel, but I've never heard of this character, so it was a new experience for me.
My dad has. Because this movie also talks about... Well, actually, we're going to take a second and not say anything too bad yet until we warn you about spoilers.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and do the summary.
Okay, so why don't you take that away?
Okay.
I did it last time.
Okay, so Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings is about our main character, Shang-Chi, who is on the run. So Shang-Chi is hiding, and we discover through a series of events that he is actually a super ninja warrior.
Super spy.
Besides being super hot, he is also a super ninja warrior.
And an assassin.
And he has a very complicated history with his father, who is in possession of these rings that give him supernatural abilities. His father's been alive for a really long time, and he is out for revenge on his dead wife's people.
Yes. Yeah.
That was probably not the best summary, but that's all I've got.
So pretty much what we're following is, like Jana said, pretty much the whole summary of the movie and what it's about is Shang-Chi and his relationship with his father, and pretty much his relationship with his father, but also like his mother's legacy.
Yeah.
And how those two worlds combine.
And the great part about this movie is that doesn't even scratch the surface of the actual movie. Like, that's just the base plot. There is so much more going on.
Yeah. So
stay tuned. We're about to get into some spoiler territory.
Spoiler alert.
Want to go see Shang-Chi? Come back to this episode later. If not, we have watched it so you don't have to, and we're about to gas up this movie so hard.
Yeah.
So
all the reviews.
Stick around. All right, Shang-Chi. Let's talk about the plot.
The plot. Okay, so get ready for the spoilers. So the plot starts out with Shang-Chi with his friend Katie. He seems like a normal guy. I love how it opens up with him.
Normal hot guy. There'll be a lot of objectification of Shang-Chi. That whole movie, I was sitting there going, oh.
Like, I want to run into him.
Where he at, though?
I don't know, New York, New Jersey.
They're always in New York.
I don't even know where they're at. I don't think they're in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's true. I only know this because of the train thingy. Trolley? I don't even know.
The bridge.
So what happens is that he's a normal guy, and all of a sudden, all of a sudden he is taken by surprise by these assassins that have come for him, or most importantly for this pendant that is on his neck, that his mother gave to him, because at this point we've all know that his dad is actually, like, a warlord?
Super spy! Not really. he's a warlord, and he's immortal. At the beginning, the movie opens up with the Ten Rings, how the legend begins, and his mother narrating to young Shang-Chi how his father came into power and possession of them.
Yes. And the mother is also part of this, like...
awesome tribe.
Yeah, awesome tribe in this other dimension that has, like, fairy creatures and all this great stuff.
I would try to pronounce the name, but I can't. So she's part of an awesome village that's off somewhere.
Exactly. A magic village. Yeah. So once he finds out that they're after this pendant, which he loses, you know, fail. he failed the mission. He finds out that they're probably going after his sister next, who has the other pendant. So now we are thrown into his sister's side of it,
that part's in, like, it's not in America. I cannot remember where it is. I have to watch it again. No, because they took a plane. They went to some part of Asia. Maybe Singapore.
I want to say Singapore so bad.
It probably wasn't. We're probably wrong. But anyway, so they take a plane. Shang-Chi gets a chance to talk to his best friend, Katie, and open up, tell her his entire backstory, and that his name is actually Shang and not Sean.
Yes, and he ended up in San Francisco because he was on this assassin mission, which he tells Katie that he did not follow through. But because he went to San Francisco and didn't return, he left his sister with his toxic father. So now she's going to go see his sister the first time in 6 years?
Yeah, 10 years. It's been a while.
So whenever they get there, they go to this fight. It's like this fighting rink building.
They didn't know that. They thought they were going to an apartment, but they end up at a decrepit, falling down construction site. And yeah. They go up this elevator, and lo and behold, it is a underground fighting ring for both supernatural creatures and
regular humans.
Yeah. We actually get a good shot of Wong from Doctor Strange fighting Abomination from the Hulk.
Yes.
Yes.
Abomination. So what ends up happening is that to go in, explore this place to find his sister, he had to agree to a fight. And this whole time we're like, who's he gonna fight? There's so many cool characters.
Also, this is my favorite scene because he goes to the back and they're, you know, explaining to him fight and whatever, and the guy goes, take off your shirt. And I went, okay.
Yes. Yes. Do what the man
I was says. Paying attention to the plot, I promise.
He was very distracting.
Me and Awkwafina were kind of the double take there.
But, so then it turns out that his actual opponent is in fact his sister. So, plot twist.
Which we all saw coming, but we were all like, ooh, what's gonna happen?
Oh, man. Yeah.
We should also mention we were there with our friend Casual Cinderella. You can go follow her on Instagram. She loved the movie as well.
Yes.
But I remember he comes out into the fighting ring and Casual Cinderella goes, it's his sister! Before his sister even came out.
Oh my god, yeah. No, and then, so she fights the sister. Of course, she's mad, so she beats him very badly. And they end up having this one-on-one. Turns out that she owns this whole fighting rink, and she says she doesn't need his help against her father, that she's doing pretty well, which she is. And then he's like, well, if you didn't need my help, why would you ask for it? Because apparently he got this, like, postcard, and that's how they found her. Turns out it was all a trap. So the guys,
surprise.
So the father's little henchmen, minions.
He basically has an entire base called the Ten Rings, and that's the name of his super secret army that he's rebuilding.
Right.
And they all have like machine guns, which really takes you out of the whole like ninja kung fu aspect. But I was like, they have machine guns!
I don't know, adapting to the times.
Runs! Runs from the machine guns.
Runs!
Like, don't try to fight them with your kung fu!
Don't try! You're not gonna win, is that? So the minions, or the Ten Rings, they all storm the... I wanna say storm the castle.
They storm the castle!
They all storm the fighting rink! And they try to find the other pendant. They're all being surrounded. Shang-Chi has this amazing idea.
She says, rolling her eyes at me.
Like, literally. Has this amazing idea that the only way to get rid of them is to scale the building and to get down that way.
Yeah, there's some scaffolding going up the side of the building, and he goes, well, if we get to the elevator, we can probably make it to the second floor. Katie, who has no kung fu skills and is the most relatable character for us non-amazing assassin hot guys, I guess.
Yeah.
She's like, hell no. But she ends up doing it anyway because there's no other option, and there are ninja machine gun guys.
Exactly, coming
runs from the machine guns.
So to make a very interesting fight scene short, the sister does come back and help them, but they end up losing again, failed again to not give them the pendant.
But this time the father like shows up and he's like, "Whoa, happy family reunion!"
He's like.
And
I'm
it's
so
like, wow,
here.
This is awful. And throughout this fight scene, you see scenes of Shang-Chi's childhood trauma of being literally beaten by some of his father's men to make him the strongest ninja possible.
Toxic relationship. So, after the dad was like, happy reunion, come back with me like you have a choice. He explains to them that his goal in getting these pendants is to storm his mother's village.
Like
his wife's yeah. village. So Shang-Chi's mother's village. Because they're holding her captive behind a wall thing.
Her dead spirit. Because we know she's dead at this point.
Oh, yeah.
She's very dead.
She died.
But he's saying, I'm hearing her voice, and I have all the maps to this village. I just need your pendants because...
I need
some It's map. Another super secret map that I did not have.
Yeah,
so they get the super secret map, and then he's like, all right, if they don't have your mom, we're just going to burn their whole village down.
And then they're like, nah, this sounds sus. Like, we don't really want them to do this. And he's like, well...
Jail. The dungeons. And this is the part of the movie where I was like, in my head, I'm thinking, oh man, I see where this is going. This is every Marvel movie. And I kind of got bored at the plot at this point. This is a lull for me. Because I'm like, you know, I see where this is going. But I did not see anything, actually, because it wasn't going the way that I thought it was.
So where did you think it was going?
I thought it was going to be like, they're forced to go with the father, and they're marching with his army, and then they get there. And they try to stop him, but they ultimately fail, and the villagers help them. And yay, they win the day at the end. Because that's how I mean, in the simplest terms, that's how I see a lot of Marvel and action movies going.
That's very true.
Because for me, I was like, oh man, this movie had so much potential. Like, that was the lull. But
That's not what happened.
That's not what happened at all.
So what really happened, okay, so all Marvel movie fans out there, we all know what happened with the Mandarin. And Iron Man. Guess what? He comes back.
Iron Man.
No.
He's dead.
No, he's dead.
Spoilers.
He's long dead.
But you've had like 5 years, so.
A little tear down my cheek. Should have been Captain America. Anyway. So the Mandarin, he comes back because in a twist,
Wenwu, the father.
Yeah, he's actually was... The Mandarin.
Yeah, that's one of his many names over the years.
Exactly. So whenever the guy was acting like him, he took offense. And after the guy got out of jail, or he broke him out of jail...
Wenwu was hired to do some terrorism things. But then they needed a figurehead because Wenwu was like, I don't really want my face associated with the Mandarin. So they hired Trevor.
No.
Okay. Maybe I misunderstood.
They heard about the Mandarin.
Oh.
And they were like, well, we're gonna bring this scary person back to life and assign this guy. And the Ten Rings guy was like, no, that's not me. How dare you? You know, because he's super secret. No one knows he's around. Well, at least that's what I got from it. If y'all catch something different, either agree to Jana or me, let us know. So what happened was that he's actually in the underground lair
because he's the dungeon.
He's being held captive as practically they were gonna kill him, but he was funny, so he's pretty much a what do they call
jester.
It? He's a jester.
He's the fool.
So the jester. Okay, this is the only part that's a little bit weird for me. The convenience of the creature.
Oh, Trevor has a creature in the cell with him named Morris.
Oh,
my. And Trevor all this time has thought that Morris was a figment of his imagination, but Shang-Chi and Katie also see him, and Trevor has learned Morris's whole, like, animal language, so Trevor translates that Morris knows a way to get Shang-Chi, Katie, and I think her name is Shai Ling, but there's an X at the beginning. Anyway, I'm sorry for butchering her name. Mm-hmm. They have a way to get off all of them to the mother's village before Wenwu shows up.
Yes.
They just need an escape, which Shai Ling finds.
Exactly, because she's a rock
she's
star.
Amazing. She's amazing. But they end up leaving way ahead of the Mandarin, or Wenwu. They leave
no,
them.
Yeah, don't call him Mandarin. Right.
They get out of Wenwu's sanctuary and head to the Forbidden Forest, which it's called something else, but I can't
remember.
We're
gonna call it the Forbidden
Forest. And why is it forbidden? Because the freaking forest part tries to kill you.
It's a maze. Elaborate maze.
The bamboo, like, we've seen it at the beginning when Wenwu tried to get in the first time. The forest fights back.
Yes.
There's only a specific time of year that you can get through. But Morris knows the way, so there's a harrowing car scene, and they make it to the secret...
To the secret...
The secret land.
Secret village... Dimension!
Yeah, they have to go to another dimension.
Exactly.
It's great. And then the whole genre of the movie flips. Because first it's like action kung fu, and it's still that. But now it's fantasy, because there are all these fantasy creatures like flying around. The village people have special armor. Like, it's It's amazing.
Yes.
And also the color palette changed, and for me I was like, there's colors.
Yes.
It's great.
And of course they hint at of a dragon, and of course I'm here for the dragon.
Oh yeah. Throughout the whole movie they're like, the great protector, the dragon. So we're like, where?
Right. So
where can I meet this great protector?
They all train because they know that the father is going to be on their tail. When the father gets there, he's like, are you going to help me find your mom? And they're like, Gat, you're being tricked by this evil... Okay, so actually, let me back up.
Backtrack.
So they're not actually keeping the mother's soul on the other side of this gate, which we should all know by now. What actually it is, it's a soul eater on the other side of this gate that tortured the village's dimension for forever.
Yeah.
The dragon helped them build this gate to kind of keep it back.
So they're kind of like Doctor Strange, as in they're protecting reality.
Yes.
But no one really knows about it except for them.
Right. So this voice that's talking to the father is actually this monster. So when the father rolls up and he's like, listen, are you going to help me, you know, save your mom? And they're like, that's not your mom. That's just a creepy creature talking to you. And he's like, yeah, whatever.
And don't call your mother that.
Yeah, exactly. So then they have this major fight scene. Son, what is it? The son confronts the father. Father confronts son. Sister is kind of left behind throughout this whole thing, which we'll talk about. And
Shang-Chi loses the first round.
He does.
He's drowning for like quite some time.
I'm surprised he hasn't died at this point.
Yeah.
But
Wenwu makes it to the wall and is already pounding his way through.
Yeah.
And it's all right. You can hear the wife's voice at this point too.
Like, yeah.
You were in his head.
He really, really does think that he's about to save his wife.
Yeah.
He really, really is wrong. So then all these little soul eaters come out, the two forces, the five ring soldiers and sorry, five ten ring soldiers. They have
half of them
now, the ten ring soldiers and the villagers, they join forces to try to beat these soul eaters. The Shang-Chi actually rises out of the lake with the power and help of the dragon, and they both go and they try to confront the father, who at this point, I'm pretty sure at this point he let the actual huge one go.
Yeah, well, no, that's after. He's still fueled by rage and trying to get to the wall, and Shang-Chi is the only thing standing in his way.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I guess I kind of spoiled it. So they fight, Shang-Chi pretty much wins, I think, and then the big one comes.
Yeah, Shang-Chi gets control of the rings, he masters his mother's people's powers, that's a whole other trail, but he gets control of the rings, and Wenwu is like, I'm sorry, what? My jewelry?
I'm sorry, that's not yours.
But they actually come to a really heartwarming understanding, and they kind of become equals for a moment, and there's this part where, you know, Wenwu does see the error of his ways, but it's too late.
It's
because
too late.
The big monster's here.
Yeah, the big monster come down, and he's like, okay, I'm gonna eat your soul.
Yeah, so Wenwu sacrifices himself to save his son.
Which he should have done.
And his daughter.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
Which I guess some people will see as redeeming. I still say that's just karma.
So the rest of the movie is this big battle. They end up saving the land.
Yay!
And Shang-Chi and Katie might be together now. But the movie ends with Wong tells Shang-Chi and Katie that they are now
a part of this.
They're now Avengers. Congratulations. Welcome to orientation. And here are your club cards.
Yeah, and then the rings that he now has is sending some sort of beacon out. Do we know what it does, what that beacon is? No, because Marvel is mysterious.
Marvel said, you gotta pay for another movie.
Yep.
And Xia Ling becomes the new headmistress of the Ten Rings.
That she was supposed to dissolve, but nah, she a bad bitch. She ain't gonna do that.
I love it. I mean, yeah. She was my favorite character.
So that pretty much is the plot of the movie. Next, we can get into characters, and there are some plot holes that I have found.
Oh, there are always plot holes.
Always.
All right, so the characters. And the plot and all of the things.
I guess we should start with the main character, Shang-Chi.
AKA Sean, AKA amazing. My husband, AKA the love of my life.
Yes.
Okay.
So his character overall, I like it. There's some dark sides of him, good sides of him. Okay, so let's get with the good sides. He seems to be very devoted. Devoted. He's very devoted to his friend Katie. And he also is just trying to kind of live his best life. Mm-hmm. You can also tell, though, he's, like, internally struggling with his purpose.
Yeah.
Because right now he's just a valet. And they bring that up multiple times where it's like, well, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? And he's like, you can tell that he's trying to avoid something.
Yeah. Which is how he and Katie bond, is that that's, like, their main motivation, is they don't really know what they want to do with their lives. For completely different reasons.
Yeah, it's like they just want to enjoy life, but they don't want to actually, like, confront it.
Yeah. Relatable.
Yes.
I also really liked, I felt like, with this character, they didn't go the stereotypical route, which is to say they didn't make him the loser character where everyone's like, haha, you're a loner loser. And then he's like, I got secret powers.
Yes.
And they didn't make him, like, the womanizer, like, cool, like, devil may care character either.
He honestly reminds me, he's almost like Peter Parker, except Peter Parker is seen as a loser. Other than that, yeah. Same thing.
Peter Parker's still a loser, but.
Well, because, you know, he was like bullied and stuff.
Right, right.
And he was like, no one noticed me. But that's like a teenager thing. No,
he's felt real because he didn't fall into either of those categories.
Just a regular guy.
Right. And I really liked that he was vulnerable and he like had these friendships and I just really liked him. I connected with him.
And I also liked him because he had a dark side.
I mean, we have to have a little mystery.
Well, because first of all, he is an assassin, which, I mean, we can't blame him. That's how he was raised. But the dark side that I'm talking about is he lied to Katie about not following through with his assassination while he was brought there. In reality, he did follow through. He did kill someone.
He killed the guy who killed his mother.
Yes.
Boom.
Yeah. And also, he has this, like, childhood trauma of seeing his mom die, not being able to do anything about it. So...
And also, she's scared of being like his father.
He is, so he does everything literally opposite of what he can do to not be his dad.
Yeah.
So, overall, and he does have the whole character arc at the end where he forgives his father in a way, but also just doesn't stoop to his father's level when he had the chance to... Things like that. It's honestly kind of like a trope, but it's still.
But still, all the little things really added up with his character, like just his willingness to open up to Katie, his best friend, about his past, even if he does omit some parts. Like, yeah,
he did tell the truth later.
Yeah, he did tell the truth later. And he wasn't afraid to be vulnerable. And I feel like, I mean, not all movies, but a lot of the action movies I've seen, and even a lot of the Marvel movies are like, I am a manly man, and I will not tell you my backstory.
I don't want to talk about my feelings.
Like, don't talk to me about your trauma, okay? I have it too.
I have it too.
But I'm not going to tell you about it, so...
We all have trauma, we just don't talk about it.
We just keep our feelings inside. But they had some really, like, really heartwarming moments where he talked to Katie, he talked to his sister, he has a great conversation with his aunt about his identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that struggle, his identity. Because he wasn't, like... He already knew he was a great ninja and a great person, but he was scared of who he would become.
Yeah, and also it's just his character just has a good amount of good things and a good amount of flaws. Like he did leave his sister with his toxic dad.
Yeah.
He did kill someone.
Yeah.
And he does run away from who he's supposed to be instead of facing it. Mm-hmm. So all this is like you cannot have a Captain America. He is so flat.
For context, Ashlyn hates Captain America. Chris Evans. Just
no,
his character.
I love Chris Evans. Captain America's just flat, and he's just right about everything, and it's annoying. But, so overall, I say good job. They did good job with Shang-Chi. I want to call him Sean so bad.
I mean, technically he was Sean.
Yeah, he was a little bit. So I am interested in seeing how much they can push this character later. Because this is just the surface. If you know Marvel, you know that this is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still got that dark side. He did commit to murdering... Well, he was committed to full-on cold-blood murdering his father.
He was going to kill him.
Yeah.
But, so maybe he'll struggle with that later. Or maybe he's going to be the one that maybe they have to defeat something. Someone's going to be like, we can't kill him. He's going to be like, nah, he got to die. Like,
I mean, he's got the 10 rings now. And that's
going to go all Kyoshi on it.
Yeah. Oh, go Kyoshi on it. Oh my gosh, I would die.
Oh my god, that'd be so great. Ugh. But the next character I think we should talk about is Katie.
Oh my gosh, I love her. All of her reactions are like, these are valid. This is exactly how I would act as well.
Exactly.
Not as funny, but...
Yeah, she is just very quirky and not in the cute... Well, okay, so whenever everyone's like, oh, it's a quirky girl, like, she doesn't know she's actually really pretty.
And she reads books and wears glasses.
Yeah, and it's like, does all the right poses. And all. She's right. Not like that. She's an actual human being.
Yeah.
So I very much appreciate Marvel for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, again, she's very devoted to Sean, Shang-Chi, both of them.
And all of his identities she is devoted to. Exactly. As I, too, would be.
And she also kind of steps into the role very easily of helping them fight. And also, at the end, I think she also found her purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good little character arc for her. Is she the love interest? Maybe. They don't hint at it. They don't, like, get together yet or anything. Which I like, because that just means another movie that's going to happen. Or not.
They have so many great, real character moments together. I'd be fine if their relationship stayed platonic. I would just be a little disappointed. But... They complement each other so well.
And you can definitely tell, the acting and also just the characters themselves, you can tell they've been friends for years.
Yeah. Oh, it's not man, like the chemistry is great.
Yeah, and it's not like a kind of chemistry where it's like, oh, I like him and he doesn't know it, and he likes me, but I don't know it. They're no, y'all are genuinely friends.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So good. I loved every moment with her. There may have been flaws, but I will look over them.
Exactly. We'll address them in this one, but... personally, they're fine.
Yeah.
And then, so the father we kind of talked about,
he's complicated.
He's complicated.
We label him as complicated.
Which is good. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'll go into too much depth about him or the mom, but he was a bad guy, and you can tell that he was obsessed with power.
But then love changed his heart.
Disney. And then that's when they came in.
But love also changed it back, because as soon as his wife died, he said, shouldn't have taken the rings off. And actually, like, his motivations and stuff made sense.
No, that's not the thing. He's kind of...
There's a good progression.
He reminds me a little bit of Thanos, just because, like, with... There's,
like, great motive... No, he didn't have great motivation. Never mind.
It's not that there's great motivation. It's just that it makes sense.
Yeah.
So you're like...
It makes enough sense, but then there's that part of your brain that's like, red flag, red flag.
Yeah, you're like, listen, I'm not saying you're wrong, but you are.
Yeah.
But I'm also saying, like, I understand. Like, you're just not, you're not initially evil. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
But
you still suck.
But you still suck. And you also, like, traumatize your kids and beat your kids and all this stuff. So, I mean, I don't feel that bad that you died.
I know. He never beat them personally, but he definitely let his people beat them, and I was like, that's still guilty by association.
Yeah, and then also was very sexist toward his daughter. Like,
yeah,
wouldn't let her train or anything.
In the Ten Rings, they only have men, and his daughter had to just, like, train in secret.
Yeah.
But she became better than all of them, so good for her.
She did. Talking about her...
Shailene.
Yeah.
I love her. I want to be her.
Yeah, I don't know if her character is as complex yet, mostly because this wasn't her movie.
Yeah, but...
So...
I agree, but at the same time, I loved her, and for different reasons. We talked about strong characters when we talked about old. Shailene, I think, is a good... she's a good model for what a strong character looks like, because she holds herself, but she also has these vulnerable moments throughout the movie where... You see her being excluded. You see her feeling like she's the odd one out.
Mm-hmm.
But
she doesn't take that, though.
She doesn't. And I love that about her. She's fine, I've always been excluded. I'm still going to win this fight, so...
Yeah, and she's also like, oh, you won't let me, like, into your club? I'll make my own club.
Yes!
That'll be better.
Oh, my gosh. And there's the reveal that she owns the fight club. I was like, yes!
Yes. So, like... But, like, it's just that other than her being a strong character, that's kind of what she is.
I also love that, and I think this is why I love Black Widow and Captain Marvel so much, was that she didn't have to prove herself. Mm-hmm. None of these characters really did. I mean, Katie had a little bit of that element to her character, but they walked into these situations where someone's kind of expecting them to do something to prove they're strong. And especially Shailene's character, I think she walked in every situation was like, I already know I'm strong.
Yeah, she never had. She never really had the urge to prove herself.
Yeah, which I loved. I'm so done with that trope.
Yeah, honestly. So
like, my favorite moment in Captain Marvel is when he's like, all right, fight me, prove you're strong. And she's like, nah.
Well, because it's like, nah, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Like, why would I fight you hand to hand whenever I can do that? Like,
yeah, I blast them.
Yeah, it's like, nah, we're not fighting into that trope.
And I love that she definitely, like Shang's character, she went against the stereotype that I expected. Like the scene where she leaves them for, you think she leaves them for dead, basically, at the fight club. But then she comes back because she's like, haha, you left me. Now you know how it feels like. I'm gonna go save your friend.
Exactly. Oops. She's like, listen, you might have been a jerk, but I'm not gonna be a jerk. Yeah. But I'm gonna scare you though.
She's like, I already know I'm better than you.
Yeah.
No, I feel like she definitely got the short end of the stick though. She was the character that I feel like they didn't put enough attention on.
This is where I would say this is where I would put a plot hole.
Yeah.
For her whole character. Let me describe why. Even though she's very strong and she's very a part of the story, mm-hmm. they overlook her many, many times. Mm. Mostly because, like, for example, whenever they go to the village and the aunt greets the two children, she literally just hugs her, then looks at Shang-Chi, and she's like, oh, you look so much like your mother. And she dotes on him more. And I'm like...
And the daughter's just standing there like,
Yeah, and I was like, I understand that this is his movie, but in that situation... It's not just him. Mm-hmm. It's both of them. Mm-hmm. It's their father doing this. It's their mother is the one that was, you know, it's like, it's both of their trauma.
Yeah.
Why is everyone just focusing on him? Why in the fight scene is it just him and the dad?
Yeah.
They kind of just push her to the side.
They flash back to her and Katie, but I feel like, I hope that they get bigger roles in the movies to come.
Well, it just, I just feel like... She is a big part of the family dynamic. Mm-hmm. This whole family struggle that is happening, it is not just between the son and the father.
Yeah, that's true.
So she should have been a part of the big fight scene or something, but she just kind of was treated like a side character.
Oh, I totally agree with you now that you say that.
Right?
I was like, oh, wait, yeah, she didn't really confront her dad at any point.
No.
Like, they didn't give her that shot.
Yeah.
And because she definitely deserved it.
She really did. And it's like, even though it is his movie... And it's about him, and it's, like, from his perspective.
Yeah.
She's a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, they do end up giving her, like, the 10 rings, and she will come back. I'm just saying, am I super thrilled with how they pushed her to the side? No. I think that was dumb.
Yeah.
But that would probably be my main... Well, that is a plot hole in the creature thing being conveniently there to lead them to the village. But he's cute, though, so I let it pass. But that's my plot holes.
I can't tell you how many... I got home from Disney recently. I passed so many gift shops with Shang-Chi merch, and I'm like, I need to eat this week, but, like, I want to buy all of the little plushies and all of the costumes.
I would definitely buy it. The creature was super, super cute.
Once Morris was introduced, the entire vibe of the movie changed for me. Because I was like... So, I mean, the trailers don't give away much, but I hadn't seen very many trailers, and I thought, oh, it's just going to be like a cool karate action movie. I've seen the main guy in Kim's Convenience on Netflix. He seems cool. But then, you know, we got to that lull in the plot, like I talked about, and I was like, oh, man, maybe I don't like this movie as much as I thought I did. And then yeah. Morris comes out, and I went, this is an entirely new element I didn't expect, because up to this point, there are no mystical creatures. They have hinted... At the mom's, her village.
Yeah.
But they haven't shown any of it. Also, and we know the mom is special because the way she fights Wenwu when they meet, she's like airbending.
Yes, she's amazing. No, it honestly does have a lot more fantasy aspects mm-hmm. than the regular action Marvel yeah. movies. And I think I know me and Jana, we're very, very fantasy. We love it.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, maybe that's why this didn't have that many good reviews. Maybe because people are used to that Marvel action.
Yeah.
Which they still have. Yeah. It's just there's a fantasy twist, and maybe that's why they didn't like it.
It just changes the whole feel of the movie, which was good. Because I was ready for a change.
Yes, I was like, you can only do so many of the same genre.
Right.
It's like Marvel universe is so big that they can't keep doing the same thing. And they know that, which is why they're doing something different.
Right.
So I commend them.
And I also loved, this was like a subtle thing I noticed on my second watch through, was once they got to the village, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember the name. They get to the village and the whole color palette of the movie changes. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was like, looking at color theory, I was like, oh, they're home. Because it wasn't like muted colors, but it was like darker setting.
Is it Wizard of Oz?
Oh my gosh. Where's the yellow brick road?
We're not in Kansas anymore.
I'll kill you and your little dragon too.
Oh my gosh, that's exactly what it was.
Oh man, no, the color palette changed. I'm like, oh, they're going home. It's warm. They're gonna be accepted, and they were, and I was so happy. I was like, where do I enter? And they got new outfits.
Yes,
it was great. And Shang learned airbending.
I do think his
outfits. So he just needs to learn water bending and earth bending,
and then we just need to redo all of
Avatar.
Yes.
That too.
Come on, Marvel. You can spread out.
It's fine. Absorb them.
We need your directors.
Oh man, no, it was great. They introduced fantasy creatures, and I was like, yeah.
So, is there any plot holes that you noticed?
I mean, I felt
like. Or am
like,
I just a negative Nancy?
I mean, I'll probably. This is how this works, right? Is that we record this and then I go home and I text you at 3 a.m. and I'm like, darn it!
Oh yeah, you're like, oh yeah, this one!
I think for me, I had this discussion with my little brother. For me, the something I thought they could do better, I don't think it's a plot hole, was when the father takes them into his study and is explaining like his new evil scheme and the mother's been talking to him. No, yeah. I really felt like that could have been shown instead of
Told.
Like, for me, that scene, again, was that
they
little...
They could have done flashbacks of her whispering to him and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, or she was whispering to him throughout the movie, and it was like, oh. I mean, maybe they needed that to make his motivation clear, but I felt like they could have done that in a better way.
Yeah.
And also, Trevor, for me, like, I love the inclusion of him, but I was like, there are some scenes where I'm like, wait, what is he doing here? But he was good comedic relief, so...
The fake Mandarin?
Yeah, fake Mandarin.
I honestly think they put him in there because they're like, okay, listen, we tried to do the Mandarin before. Because yeah. I think the Five Rings, the dad in the comics, if I'm wrong, please leave comments. This is just what I know from my dad, and he might have been wrong or I misheard. I think that he was supposed to be the Mandarin.
I think I heard that too.
And so whenever Iron Man came out, I think it's the third movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's the second movie.
No, it's the third one.
It was the second
one. You're good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm right.
Wait.
No, I think it's the second one.
It is, okay.
It is the second one.
I'm confused.
Sorry, there's been so many. So in Iron Man 2, when the Mandarin is hinted at, there are a lot of people that got excited because it was supposed to be this guy.
Yeah.
And then when they showed it was an actor, I think there was, I don't know, I know my dad was disappointed.
Yeah, I know a bunch of people were.
Yeah, because they're like, this isn't the Mandarin. So I think they brought him back to be like, yeah, we... almost to cover their butt a little bit.
It was kind of like, it was Agatha all along.
It was Agatha all along. Like, I think they were like, yeah, I know, we tried to do the Mandarin, we messed up, but because this was how it's supposed to be this whole time.
Yeah. Wow, we planned it out so well.
Look, we tricked you. It's like, nah, you messed up, but you fixed it.
Congratulations,
so it's okay.
We're still friends.
So I really think that's the main reason why he's in that movie.
Yeah. I'm reaching for things that were wrong with it because
I think that is something because it's like you didn't like he wasn't was he really that important to the story? No, you were just covering yourself. So
definitely could have put Wong in there in his place.
Exactly. And it's also kind of like you're trying to fix old mistakes instead of just focusing on the movie. So I do see that as a drawback.
Yeah. But overall, like, those are very minor criticisms compared to some other things we've seen. Or just other things in general, like...
Listen, yeah, it's like, we can go on about bad movies. Good movies is very, very hard to critique.
But that's good, because we can talk about plot structures and character stuff and the things that we studied for and have degrees in.
Exactly. Don't worry, we'll get into, like, he's all that later, and then we'll have to, like, discuss
it. Something to talk about. No, this is a great, great movie. And I really like the dialogue as well. I know a lot of movies get hung up on dialogue.
It was actually pretty good. I don't think there was anything that I cringed at.
It was just some of the exposition, like I said, like Wen Wu.
I'm very, very, very picky with dialogue. Mm-hmm. Especially if it's like, even the actors.
Also,
like,
the fight scenes
are so good.
The fight scenes are so like, the director and the editors do so well at portraying tension through them. Like,
yes.
Even freaking sexual tension in a fight scene.
Yes.
The first fight scene, I was like, Whoa. Yeah. Okay.
Oh my god. And I also like the first fight scene whenever they're on the trolley or the train or the
bus. Oh, the bus. The bus. Yeah,
yeah. And then the guy's like filming the whole time. Oh, that is so accurate. That's exactly what would happen today.
Okay. I have to say, as someone who works in public as a librarian, that is exactly how the public reacts to fights.
Yes, it is.
I have witnessed some of them, and there's always the person who's scared. Or several people, there's someone streaming or live tweeting it, and then there are people just minding their own business who are like, oh yeah, it's a fight.
Yeah, whatever. I was like, this is exactly, and especially the guy where he was like, I took like 2 years of karate, so I'm gonna break this down for you.
Oh,
I'm
my
like,
gosh.
Oh my god, this is so accurate.
I have a coworker who does that. So it's, I'm just saying that because while we were sitting in the theater, I overheard someone go, people don't act like this. And I was tempted to turn around and be like, yes, they do. Go work in a public place.
Honestly, like, or even go to a public school. Whenever there's any kind of fight, everyone's phone's out. Everyone's just, like, watching. Especially if it's on a bus. Like, I really think they would just... And plus, you also have to think about the universe that this is in. So much crazy stuff has happened. I'm sure some people are excited to be in the middle of it and to record it. Because I'm sure they'd get famous or something.
Right.
So,
oh man,
it's good. It's so good.
So good. Go see it.
Go see it. But if y'all have any critiques or find any plot points that we have overlooked, please let us know. Like, we'll try not to have our feelings hurt too much because we do love this movie, but we also love y'all's comments.
There's definitely very valid critiques of it that we're definitely missing.
Yeah, we're just impartial.
Yeah.
We're partial.
Biased.
Very, very biased, yes.
We're biased. It was so good. And also, like, definitely go follow the actors on, like, Instagram.
Definitely.
Because they have some really great points about the movie. Especially, I can't pronounce his name. The main guy who plays Shang I've been following him on Instagram since the trailers came out. Mm-hmm. And he has posted some really great points about how Asians are portrayed in media and how their movie is trying to fight that. Mm-hmm. And I've really learned a lot from following him. Mm-hmm. And he's just a really positive guy, at least so far. I don't know a lot about him, but...
Yeah.
I enjoy it. And also, I learned today, actually, that the girl who plays the aunt has been in, like, really cool, famous karate movies before.
I believe that.
And I was like, okay, I'm not gonna watch these.
She actually, there's this Netflix movie. She also plays in Alakisha.
Ooh, okay.
I need to watch.
It
was really, really good.
So did you have a favorite or least favorite part of the movie? I know we talked very technical, but on a base level.
My favorite part... The favorite part of the movie, I guess it would have to be the fight scenes with the winning fight scene with the dragon and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That was really cool.
Big Dragon Ball Z vibes.
My least favorite part was probably the whole, like I said, the whole creature thing. That I feel like that's a huge convenience thing. I did not like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like the creature. Don't get me wrong. She's cute.
She's a Morris hater.
No.
Ashley is anti-Morris.
What? Though, I just have a hard time.
The convenience of it.
It's so convenient. And I think it's just they used it as an excuse for them to get to point A to point B.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. I'm pro Morris, so.
Oh, okay. Just hate on me. It's fine.
It's fine. No, I see what you're coming from, though.
Yeah. So, what was your favorite part?
Oh my gosh. There's so many.
You can't choose a scene with a shirt on. Without a shirt.
Darn it! My one scene. No, I really loved the scene that stuck with me the most was when they're fighting on the scaffolding and they've just met the sister and Katie is about to fall to her death and he's not gonna get there in time. Like, it's very clear he's not gonna be able to save her. And Shailene comes back and she saves her and is like, you know, I just loved that because I was like, okay, we flipping the switch here. Like, she's gonna save her. I love that she came back and that, you know, she was even kind of like sassy about it too. It made me love her a lot.
Yeah, she's great.
My least favorite scene was, oh man, what was it? I really hated, I mean, not, this is very petty of me. I really hated the scene where they do a flashback and it's after the mom has been brutally killed by this gang. And we learned that the guy who killed her is still on the loose. And Wenwu was like, grab your coat, son. We're going out.
Oh my god,
and he brings him and makes him watch this brutal murder. And like,
murders. Murders. Kills all of them.
And it just adds to the trauma. But then later, when Wu comes back and is like, you just stood there and watched. Like, you didn't help.
Yeah.
And I was like, he was over on the bench.
He was over on the bench.
Also, he was like 9.
He was like, you didn't do anything. You could have saved her. No, or even people had died, 100%. I was like, and number one, you also have to think of it in your mom's perspective. The mom would have been pissed,
right,
if the son went out there and like got killed or something. Like,
but yeah, I guess that was my least favorite. Besides the when they were just sitting in the dungeon, and my brain was like, "Oh, I know where this is going," but then I didn't, which was pleasant. It was a good I didn't know where it was going.
Right.
Read a fantasy novel, watch some Bruce Lee movies.
Watch MCU.
Watch MCU.
And if this is the first MCU movie you have seen, go watch the rest of them. I know it's long. It's like 28 movies, but go do it.
Yeah. But it's nice. You can watch Shang-Chi out of context. I mean, you'll miss Easter eggs, but I really like that you could just kind of pick it up and put it down if that's not your thing.
Yeah, you really can. Yeah. Most MCU movies you can, except for Infinity War and Endgame. You can't do that.
You can't do that.
I mean, you can, but you'd be super confused.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I'm trying to think of any other points that Casual Cinderella might have brought up. She had mentioned some fantasy novels. You may have to shoot her some DMs on Instagram, but
exactly.
She was really into the movie as well, and I'm sure she'd love to talk about it.
Yeah. And if y'all need any fantasy recommendations, just let us know.
Oh, for sure. All right.
All right. It's been fun. Until next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.